There's a handout sheet in the bulletin if you care to follow along. I was talking to Gary. I said, I just have a short message. He said, they're all short. But I'm not going to tell you what he said after that. So I'll let you figure that out. So, but it starts off, if we wanted to look at what we would look at as a way of introduction is just number one, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Sometimes I think we forget that. Sometimes I think what happens is we get so busy with life, we get so structured, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. To tell you the truth, if I am going to realize that it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, it is something that there are things in our life that we must do on purpose. And this is one of those. There are many. Think about all the things that happen in our life throughout a day as a day unfolds that, you know, we say, well, things are just natural to do. You know, you get up in the morning, right? Now, I know as I get older, sometimes it seems a little harder to get up. Okay? But most of the time, it's just a natural thing. You wake up and, okay, it's light outside, time to get up. And then you get up and your day unfolds. And you think about all those things. And the most important things, I think, are the things that we say, I will get to that later. I will get to that later. And later never shows up. And so as we begin with this psalm, Psalm 92 is so great. And as I was looking at it, I think, boy, that's the title of the sermon. Verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, if you look at your sheet, what I did is I didn't put do A, B, C or anything like that. I just put some statements under there, some statements that I found in a commentary. I'll admit that. But here's the thing. The first one is this. It's good for the one who offers the thanks and for those who hear it. See, if it's good to give thanks to the Lord, first of all, it's good for me to do that. Okay? You say, well, you already said that like three times. But it's also good for those who hear others do that. So I got to ask myself this question. And I want you to ask the same question. Do I find it hard to tell God and thank Him for the good things? And it's just like, oh, yeah. Because if not, you know where we live? I'll tell you where we live. We live at the corner of discontent and want. Right? That's where we live all the time. How many of us have just paused and said, Lord, I got enough? Right? Isn't that the truth? I got enough. I will say this. Every one of us are here today, right? Because we had enough to get here, correct? You say, well, but my list is long. My list is always long, folks. Why, before I even came to church today, my wife said, what are you doing? I'm looking. I got some things in a shopping cart at the house. Waiting to hit the button. Why? Because I need, right? The corner of discontent and want. So how does that play into my life if I am said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord? Because many times, if we're not careful, our thanksgiving is always predicated upon what we have. Amen? What we have. Well, what do we have? Well, if it's material things, this is a shocker, folks. Okay? One of these days, it won't matter. All those things right now that matter so much will be something that our children and grandchildren will clean out. I'm putting together an incredible estate sale. Right? But the amazing thing is this, is that if you want a wake-up call into how to really be thankful, just schedule some time and visit maybe a friend or somebody in a nursing home. That'll give you a perspective on life that does not shout at us. You said, well, what do you mean? I said, Larry and I, we do this on a weekly basis, and You go in, and a person that had lived their whole life, had a wonderful home, a house full of furniture, is reduced to a bed and a nightstand. Then you start figuring out, well, let me see. What am I talking about? It is good to give thanks unto the Lord. I can. It is good for the one who offers the thanks and those who hear it. So I can start practicing now. That means this, is I need to move away from the corner of discontent and want. I need to move away from that. I need to move out into the country. Right? I need to get away from it. That doesn't mean we don't live our lives. Doesn't mean that we don't care. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of our stuff. It's just that we don't realize that our thankfulness is not predicated upon what my bank account says, what is stored away in my home, or what's going to set in front of me today for lunch. Amen? So that way I can be thankful. So the next one that is on your sheet is this. There is no lack of subject matter for praise. Isn't that incredible? Think about that. And this is a struggle that prosperous nations have, is to praise. Because if it's a prosperous nation, we get caught up into that, don't we? So, and what happens is this, is that we end up living our lives always thinking, boy, I got to get through today because I got plans. Where it's like, yes, is that, when's the last time that I just, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let us lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? Oh, yeah, yeah. And so what happens is this, is that, now watch this. That's another one of those things that I know it's a good thing to do, and I have to make myself do it. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm really not good about all that stuff. No, I think what we need to change and say is that I don't want to do that. I have a tendency to be a whistler. And sometimes it irritates people. And I can't whistle like these guys go, you know, those real loud ones that curdle everybody. And I always envied those people, man. They're neat. You know, you can get a person's attention. I'm just one of these kind of mild whistlers. You know, I go around and I'll just whistle. And I get a song in my heart. You ever get a song in your heart? And then you just walk around and you end up humming it. And you end up, see, you don't even have to be a good singer to do that. And so when we think about this idea, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Now, a lot of the music that we hear today, now, you know, I'm thinking about in the secular world, just repeats over and over man's condition, doesn't it? You know, years ago, I heard a person say this, you know, if you like country music, you know, they said years ago, if you played a record backwards, you know, they had satanic messages on it, right? And the country music crowd said, no, if you play the music backwards, the guy gets his trailer back, he gets his wife back, he gets his dog back, right? So, but I mean, because what happens a lot of times is, as we hear music that's played around us all the time, it talks about man's condition. And it's usually not very good. You know, it's a person broke up or, you know. And I don't know. Everybody likes love songs, don't they? Now, not the guys, because guys, they don't even like chick flicks. But secretly in our hearts, we do like those love songs, right? Because it reminds us of our wife. Oh. I had to stop and do that. All the ladies are going, yay, he said it. All the guys are saying, move on. Let's get this message done. Move on. I thought this was a short message. Right? Right? But did you notice this? That it has even crept into Christian, what we call Christian music. They sing more about man's conditions rather than the glories of our Lord and the praise of our Savior. Amen? Yeah, I want to encourage you with those thoughts, and maybe we ought to be a little more discerning, I myself included, as to if there's no lack of subject matter for praise. Boy, when you think about that, wow. What could we say about God today? What could we say about Jesus today? You say, oh, that's just old stuff. We come to church all the time. No, that's just it. His mercy and grace is new every day. Amen? I like the fact that at least every other month we gather around the Lord's table. Why? Because we want to be reminded on purpose of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His sacrificial death. Amen? That's enough. Amen? How about the fact that, I'm just thinking out loud today, okay? How about the fact that there's not a place where we can go where we do not have His presence in our lives? Come on now, amen? That's His omnipresence. How about the fact of this? Is that there's nothing too hard for God. Come on now, amen? Amen. Isn't that powerful stuff when you think about that? Yeah. Because if there's anything, you know what I see in my life? I see the fact that I fall short continually. Yeah. So if I'm going to look to myself, I'm going to get discouraged. I can't praise myself for anything. But yet, when I look at my Heavenly Father, when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I have endless amount of material for praise. Amen? How about His watch care over us each and every day? See, what we want is we want to live a life that's free of any complications. Wow, I'll tell you what, man, that's nothing. That ain't happening. And I don't care if my old English teacher hears that. I'll tell you what, all you got to do, listen, you young folks, you don't even know this yet. All you got to do is get older and just basic instructions get complicated. Watch this. You go to the doctor, right? You go home. My wife said, what did they say? I don't know. I understood everything when he said it. What did he say? I don't know, but I agreed with him. Yeah. That's why I asked her, I got a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. I said, you want to go with? It's just like, that's the first time I ever invited my wife along to the doctor. We're going to have a date. Go in, the doctor, hey, this is my date. Why? Because she'll tell me when I get out, no, that's not what he said. Right? That's not what he said. I was taking ibuprofen and you know, you're only supposed to take so much every so many hours. I had to get a 3x5 card and write down what I took when because I couldn't remember. You say, you're in bad shape. I've been telling you that for years. And it's like, when did I take that? Karen said, I don't know. So I said, where's my paper? She goes, oh, I took your paper. Because she was on the phone doodling. There it is. See, I have a new set of brains. It's called a 3x5 card, and it's called a pen. And you say, well, why would you say that? Because here's the thing. If I am going to think about my life, if my life is to be a life of praise to God, it can't be because I'm getting better. It's because God is great. Period. Amen? Do you see Him as worthy? Do you see Him as worthy of our lives? Wow, that's incredible. So the next one is this. Is just to think of all He has done makes the heart sing with joy. What's He done? I know there's always a downside, so I'll talk about the downside and then we'll praise a little bit. The downside is we live in a culture that has convinced you and me that what we have somehow deserved. We use statements like this. Well, he pulled himself up by his bootstraps. Did you ever hear that? You know what? That's the biggest lie. You say, really? That's a lie? Well, I worked hard. Well, yeah, you ought to work hard. Why? Because our lives are to bring glory to God, okay? I didn't want to be a slacker when I worked at Wood Mode because my life had a testimony of the greatness of God in my life. Amen? Oh, yeah. People said, well, you worked hard and you done this and you did that. Do you realize this? Let me look at this again. Just to think all that he has done makes the heart sing with joy. What can you attribute? And I know this might be up for debate a little bit. But your basic intelligence, what did you contribute to that? Come on now, huh? Yeah. Now you say, well, I read and I develop. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. But I'll tell you what. Man, I was growing up, and when I was in elementary school, I never took a book home for homework because it all just comes so easy. Where did that come from? Where did I get that from? Well, that was from mom's side, not dad's side, right? That's what you got. No. See, here's the thing. What am I talking about? Well, just to think of all he has done makes the heart sing with joy. Do you realize there is so much that is involved in our lives that we had absolutely nothing to do with? Now, when you think about that, guess what? Praise ought to flow. Praise for what? Praise to God. Amen? What? I had no say in being born in the country where I'm born. Have you? Wow, yeah. So on. Let's move on, because I said I'd get done with this quick. The marvelous, intricate plans of God, his deep designs and wise plans add fuel to the flame of praise. Boy, I'll tell you what, isn't that something? I heard it put this way many years ago, and it still gets me excited when I think about it, is that we belong to our Father. He has done for us that which we could never do for ourselves. Amen? Yeah, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you realize that the whole world out there is trying to somehow reconcile themselves. If you don't think they are, you just talk to them. You go up and strike up. People aren't hostile to you. They're hostile when you give them the truth. But you ask people, say, do you believe in heaven? Yeah. Do you think you're going to go there? Well, watch this. I'm good enough. Do you ever hear people say that? Well, I'm good enough. I'm certainly not as bad as that guy, right? See, everybody's trying to reconcile themselves. You and I, who know Christ as our Savior, we have been given a gift that we could never. And also this, on the backside of that, is we belong to a plan that's bigger than ourselves. Did you ever notice how the world, did you ever notice how much traction or how much press or how much exposure the billionaires and the millionaires of our world get? And you know what? Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're just first in line to realize that none of that has brought the lasting satisfaction that the world has promised. Amen? Yeah. And what? If you and I want to praise God, we praise God for who he is, the plans of God, his deep design. And these should add fuel to the flame of praise. So that is, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. So I wanted to explain that a little bit. What does that mean? You know, if you go home, I will tell you this. Every home that's represented here, we can all go and find something wrong with our homes that's going to need updated or fixed or maintained, right? Always, 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 always. So it can't be our homes, right? And if you look in the mirror, I look in the mirror and I think, yeah, nothing to praise there, right? Yeah. And so what you need to realize is this, is now, number two takes us through this passage now, the natural man struggles to give thanks. Ooh, maybe that's one of the reasons that we struggle a little bit with giving thanks. See, as I read the passage and knew how it laid out, notice what it says, verse 6, the foolish man knows not, neither does the fool understand. What is the whole idea? The natural man, they struggle. If you're waiting for this world to acknowledge God, wait a long time. The Word of God says they don't get it. They don't understand. Here's the thing. We still need to praise God. We need to get the message out that they can join the course. See, that's the point. When someone receives Christ as their Savior, they go from being dead in trespasses and sins to spiritually alive. We call it being born again. And guess what? Now they have the ability to be genuine praisers of God, if that's even a word. Right? Praisers. They join in the course. Amen? But the natural man, they don't get it. And look at this passage reminds us, verse 7, when the wicked spring as the grass and when the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. That's not good news, folks. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And so that's not a good commentary. But the natural man struggles to give thanks. And so we come up on a secular holiday called Thanksgiving. And so what happens a lot of times when we think about Thanksgiving, we think about the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing balls, all that really good sopped up with gravy and the Tums chews that you're going to have afterward to take care of the indigestion and the pumpkin roll you're going to eat. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. Realize this is the world will celebrate that, but they're not praising and giving thanks to God. So we can enjoy that aspect, but here's the thing. We have the upper hand on that. Because hopefully we'll do it the right way. Amen? And we will take this opportunity to join in with this world, realizing that this world struggles to give thanks. So number three, the righteous receive strength and honor from the Lord. I like verses 10 and 11. And these verses are very interesting because it talks about a horn. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Okay? What's that talking about? Well, the horn is used as a word to mean strength. Okay? And it's interesting. What it is what we have here is the righteous receive strength and honor from the Lord. And so what we have in this psalm, where it starts off, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, but also it's a good thing because God is our strength. Sometimes do you feel tired? Do you feel like you can't go on? It's just like, here's the thing. The Word of God says this, is that God is our strength. You know, we don't necessarily use that word horn, but he's our strength today. He's your strength today. What can I draw from that? And he anoints the faithful ones with fresh oil. Isn't that something? Isn't there just something about, I think a lot of times when just taking a warm washcloth, taking my glasses off and it's so refreshing to wash your face. You say, well, where did that come from? Well, I don't anoint my head with oil, okay? Now, I got some stuff to put on my face and I'm having a hard time using it because I don't want to become so vain. I don't want to be the handsomest guy in the room, okay? But we're looking at this. What are we looking at? We're talking about this idea of being thankful. Why should we be thankful? Here's another thing. We receive strength from the Lord. That's what he says. But my horn shalt thou exalt. He's my strength. Verse 11. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. And so, if we are living in this world for Christ, our world's not going to necessarily give us accolades. So we need strength from somewhere. Where does our strength come from? that comes from the Lord. I think about, you know, when I get up and I do what I would call the pastoral prayer here, and, you know, as we go over different prayer requests and we cry out to the Lord, many times I will in that prayer be just, and I try to do it sincerely. I'm just so thankful for the fellowship that we enjoy together as believers come together. You know, you say, well, I'll acknowledge this. I'm the only one paid to be here today. I'm paid to be here, okay? But if I wasn't paid to be here, I'd still be here. Because I did that for years, not being paid. Now I just receive a salary. But even as a young believer, in that first little country church that Karen and I, where we got saved, we saw the value of what it was to be with other Christians. But you know what? That's not even enough. Because as we get to know each other, you know what? You know what creeps in our lives? The fact that we're not perfect. Isn't that something? And then we get to know the idiosyncrasies of the people around us, right? And you realize, now, I took vacation and I didn't realize I did it at the time, but at last week when I was on vacation, that marked 9 years that Karen and I were here at First Baptist Church. That's a milestone. Okay? 9 years. And that's, wow, that's a long time. And it's a long time and you still like us. That's incredible. That's what I'm getting at. It's just like, I'll tell you what, if I asked you to write down on a sheet of paper things about me that you really don't like, you could do that. That's okay. You know why? Because I'm not supposed to draw my strength from you. You're not supposed to draw your strength from me. We are supposed to draw our strength from the Lord as you and I walk with Him together. Amen? That's wonderful. Hallelujah. I can get excited about that. And that's what the psalmist here, David, is saying. And then number four. Hey, I'm at number four. We're right there. Yeah, and this is what's really neat. And I circled verse 14 because I didn't want to forget that in the scripture reading today. The thankful have a beauty the world doesn't give. We are in the middle of Black Friday. Come on, don't you just love Black Friday? I do. Yeah. Yeah, well, my wife doesn't do in shopping. I told her when we got married that I'd make up for that. But, you know, what, and we are bombarded with all kinds of advertising. Some of the advertising is for beauty products. The world wants to be beautiful. And so much so that even on social media, they have filters now, right? Don't they have filters where you can make yourself take all the flaws out? See, I stand before you today a hologram. And all the blemishes are taken out, right? Yeah. Notice what it says here. Wow. Verse 14, I love this. And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be flat and flourishing. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Our beauty is more than skin deep. That's what it says. Our beauty is more than skin deep. Not that we shouldn't care. Look, don't go home and throw out all your wash rags saying the pastor don't care if I wash before I come to church. If you do that, I'm going to have to talk to you. Okay? But, you know, it was funny. I went to the dermatologist here. And, you know, you realize for the next, if I stay in the ministry for another 5 to 10 years, all I'm going to talk about is doctor's visits. You know that, don't you? So I go to the dermatologist the other day, and I'm sitting there. Of course, she's checking me over and making sure that, you know, big growths aren't, you know, cancerous and everything. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm not a lotion guy. And I'll tell you what, ladies, you guys carry a cross. You know that? You guys get up in the morning, and you're sitting there. I don't watch my wife get ready, so I don't know. One day I showed an illustration of what it must be like to put on a pair of pantyhose, and everyone says, you know, do you wear pantyhose? No, I don't wear pantyhose. But I see, you know, they go and they got a vanity all full of stuff.
And you're sitting there, and then you wash that off. And then you're going, like this again. And I think, and I get up in the morning, and I go over and go, yep, still there. Wash my face downstairs. I'm so glad we have a downstairs bathroom because I'm never in the mood to brush my teeth right away in the morning. I got to at least walk down the steps, and it's just like compartmentalized. My wife's over there. She's putting lotion on her legs and on her arms. The lady told me, the dermatologist said, well, you're not a lotion guy. And I think, yeah, that backfired. And then I told Karen, I said, man, my skin is looking old. She goes, you're not a lotion guy. I am so glad that beauty is more than skin deep. And that's what it is. The thankful have a beauty the world doesn't give. Did you ever notice a person can come up to you and they can be attractive looking? And within 3 or 4 minutes, they can diminish all their beauty because of a bad spirit, right? And did you ever notice, I noticed this even as a young person, preteen and going into my teens, that were some people that were rather homely that lived in Freebrook. Not me, of course, not me. Yeah. But when I got to know them, their personality brought out a beauty in that person that I looked right past any compromising looks that they might have had. Isn't that something? You know, the Word of God tells us the thankful have a beauty the world doesn't give. So when you and I realize it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, we are developing a beauty that the one over there, Sally, right? Is that what that's named? Beauty? Do they have Ultra, right? You have Ultra. Alta. Yeah. You can go in there and try. And don't get me wrong. If you want to buy that stuff, if you're a hairdresser, I'm not trying to offend you today, okay? Thanks, folks. Man, this is falling apart fast. So much for smooth endings. We got the landing gear down. First time I was in the plane, and I just crushed the landing gear on the runway. Well, listen to me, folks. I don't know what I want to say anymore. The benefits in our life of developing a thankful relationship to the Lord and giving thanks to the Lord will be a beacon in this world that we can only imagine. Only imagine. Let's pray.